Com prazer.
That's our intro. Hello everyone and welcome to Bicycle Brasa, the show where two Brasa talk about movie news, reviews, shorts,
intro trailers,
and some cack in between. My name is Ross.
And I'm Jody.
This show is divided into two segments, news and shorts, where we talk about news and shorts. And,
which are still trailers.
Yes, it's still trailers. And review, where we discuss a movie that we've both seen this past week. Listen, yeah.
Our news and shorts.
Curfew is now in effect. All unauthorized citizens must stay indoors.
Tensions rise as we enter the 213th week of lockdown.
A grim new reality emerges.
COVID-23 has mutated.
Beginning thermal scan. Thermal scan normal.
A horrifying new development
new
today.
New data confirms the virus attacks the brain tissue.
Fury!
Hey. Whoa! I'm immune!
Worldwide death toll rises to over 110 million.
All infected Americans are being forced into quarantine camps.
Songbird. During a pandemic lockdown, very specifically a pandemic lockdown, a young man must overcome martial law, murderous vigilantes, and a powerful, well-connected family to reunite with his love. Dude, this trailer is insane.
No, it's COVID like cranked up to 11. It's
technically
nuts.
It's COVID cranked up to 23.
Yeah. There are police in the streets. The government are basically kidnapping people who they suspect are infected with the virus.
Yeah.
But from what I can tell, the guy in the starting role is immune. So there are people with immunities.
Yeah, so it's got a pretty big cast. The character, or the guy you're talking about, KJ Apa, I'm not really familiar with
him. I don't
him
know
at
that guy.
All. I have no idea who he is. I don't know Sophia Carson either, but Craig Robinson from Office fame and a few other things. Bradley Whitford, Peter Stormare, who's like that Swedish guy whose accent's apparently Russian and German. And anything else you can think of.
Who's been in Michael Bay stuff before, because this is produced by Michael Bay.
Yes.
You can see just the color palette and the cinematography. You can see he has some influence there.
It bleeds through the Bay effect.
That's what I don't understand. When he's a producer, how can he just convince the director to do Michael Bay shit?
I believe... My theory is that when he says he's producing, he's actually directing
the
shit out of those movies.
This is how the meeting goes. He walks in, gun in hand, takes out his penis, puts it on the table. And
low camera angle that pans from left to right as he whips it out.
That's right. Slow motion. Boom.
Boom.
Hits the table and he's like, so, we're going to make a movie or what?
That's how all Michael Bay movies are.
That, definitely. That's the writer's room. Sniffs cocaine of a naked woman and then heads out.
Exactly. So this movie looks crazy. I think it's scary because it's set in a very not too distant future.
Yeah.
So it really hits home.
I hope that it doesn't just devolve into like, I don't want to say it again, but Michael Bay action, you know?
Yeah.
I want there to be some sort of like message.
I want there to be some type of purpose. I'd also love a coherence to the action scene. Because Michael Bay's, I mean...
Six Underground.
Everyone's watched Transformers. Everyone's seen like the first couple of Bad Boys movies. The action gets a little bit like illogical.
Wait,
to
in Bad Boys, it's fine.
Bad Boys 2?
Yes.
The highway?
That highway scene. They wreck so many cars.
The paperwork alone.
Now you can see it, like, there's a, you reach a point in your life at the, or an age where you can see it from the captain's perspective, and you're like, you guys are fucking
irresponsible. that's a sign that you're older. When you like, when you side with the captain, you're like, Yara Usa.
Yeah, I need more than Usa. I need fucking drugs, my bro. Anyway.
What's the job?
I'd like you to kill Santa Claus.
I'm looking for the fat man.
You can't be serious.
This is what people actually think of me. Christmas is a farce. I am a joke.
What's the purpose of your visit?
Hunting. I'm going to kill some things.
There is a rising number of our youth making poor decisions.
What
The big man's head.
Severed heads rot, they mold.
They don't want his beard.
I'm not shaving off a dead man's beard.
Ooh, another one that we're excited about. Fat Man. So, this movie starring Mel Gibson, Walton Goggins, and Marianne Jean-Baptiste. It's about a... Oh, let's put it this way.
Take your time.
Yes, it's very hard to describe. So, to save his declining business, Kris Kringle, also known as Santa Claus, is forced into a partnership with the U.S. military. Making matters worse, Kris gets locked into a deadly battle of wits against a highly skilled assassin hired by a precocious 12-year-old after receiving a lump of coal in his stocking. Dude, this is the most what the fuck trailer of the week.
I know. Like, who would have thought? Okay, first of all, anytime a Mel Gibson movie comes up, I'm just like, what is this guy up to today?
Yeah.
Turns out he's up to some he's crazy shit. Santa. Yeah. But not only Santa, Santa who is a killer, who does like wet work for the military.
Yes.
The style of the trailer is quite gritty and grounded, but in the same breath, it's a ridiculous premise that you have to like believe in.
I know. We both are big fans of Walton Goggins. 100%. Not him in Justified. He also very recently was in the second Ant-Man movie as well as like one of the antagonists in there. So he plays the assassin that's hired by the 12-year-old. And he's like,
and it's such a 12-year-old thing to do, and they're like, fucking, oh, I got coal, you know what?
I'm gonna hire an assassin.
Yep, I'm gonna kill Santa.
Two things I take from this: don't give a 12-year-old the internet, and also make sure they don't have enough money to hire assassins.
Yeah, 100%. I would not go up against a Santa that looks like Mel Gibson.
No.
Because he is jacked.
He's jacked. He's got... The Santa beard is looking very aggressive in this movie.
It's very... I'm antagonized just by the beard.
Yeah. And Mel just looks like full on crazy. Like, he is embracing this role.
Yeah, but, I mean, are we ready to forgive Mel Gibson?
He's got a storied past.
Storied past, yeah. Little anti-Semitism, little racism.
Just a touch of
little spousal abuse. Just pepper it in. So, should we be watching his films is my question.
Dude, it's a tough one. I feel like these other movies where he's directed, because he's gone into the director's seat for a lot of his recent things.
Apocalypto.
Yeah, he's not really like felt the wrath of audiences, I think, with all of his personal issues that's come out.
I think he has, because he's a blockbuster actor, right? He's got the chops. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then that happened.
Mm.
And he hasn't been in... I remember there was one that I enjoyed, Get the Gringo, which I kind of enjoyed. But nothing A-list, right? Yeah. Nothing like... blockbuster, nothing at the forefront. So he has suffered.
But I think that's more the studios that are blacklisted in. Probably.
Definitely, which are majority Jewish, to be honest.
Yeah.
There should be a test. Like an asshole test.
Yeah.
Like, am I still an asshole? Mm-hmm. And he has to do it. Now, because of that, he has to take the test every year. And if he fails, he therefore gets blacklisted.
Like a parole hearing.
Exactly. You have to meet your asshole parolee officer. Yeah. And you do the asshole test, and they give you an asshole breathalyzer, and just to check if you're still an asshole.
Kind of like a prostate exam. No,
they don't check your actual asshole. But
those are important too.
If your actual asshole is what makes you an asshole, then they should check your asshole.
Exactly.
Nice.
Yeah.
We'll develop it.
We'll keep
patent pending.
Anyways, I'm pretty excited about this movie.
Me too. It's
the most unique take on Santa I've seen.
I'm going to watch it, man. I want someone to die by, like, Rudolph biting a nuts off a sign.
There's a scene in the trailer where whichever one of the, like, reindeer bites that guy.
100%. I want to see fucking candy cane go through someone's head. Some weird shit like
I feel
that.
Like we're going to see all of it.
I'm down for it. James Bond stream shopping. So, as you know, the new James Bond, there's a lot of time to die, apparently. No, it's called James Bond, No Time to Die. Has been delayed like 3 times now?
Quite a few.
Yeah. So, it's delayed to the 2nd of April 2021 at the moment. It's still supposed to come out. But during this delay, there's been a lot of studios looking at them to be like the savior of cinema. They thought it was going to happen with Tenet.
Yeah.
But it didn't, and now they were looking at James Bond to be that film. So Apple, this is the most significant one. Apple offered them $300 to $400 million for a 12-month license of the release of James Bond, No Time to Die. Mm. That's a lot of money. But it was too little for the studio. So MGM was looking for 650 to apparently 800 million. They wanted that much money.
Dude, what the hell is this film's budget?
The budget is around 250 mil.
So I would, we'd roughly generally look at doubling a budget for distribution of things, right? So essentially the studio was like trying to cover all losses.
Yeah, no, they are, because according to the Hollywood Reporter, the film is costing $1 million per month on interest on what it costs to make the film.
Yeah, this is a side of COVID that the film industry isn't really revealing too much at the moment, which is the cost of delaying.
Yeah.
So like kind of using Marvel as an example, they've planned their movies out for like 4 years at a time, right?
Yeah.
When delays happen, that fucks up your whole plan.
Your whole plan.
And you can imagine the same thing happening at every other studio. So movies are released at certain times of the year because of the feel that they convey, because of the content, because of...
Exactly. You know, if it's a blockbuster, it's usually around summer. America's summer, which is June, July, August.
Exactly. Your Christmas movies come out towards the end of the year.
Yeah.
Everything's been delayed now.
Yeah.
And what everyone else is now looking at is the streaming avenues, because they still want some money.
Yeah.
You know, they're trying to make money in whichever way they can.
Yeah.
Clearly the streaming companies are not...
no, I mean, they all understand that James Bond is it's a huge name and it's a big character, and people will definitely watch it.
Mm.
But is it worth it to spend that much money just to possibly gain new subscribers? Yeah. I don't think the numbers add up.
Not with a movie like James Bond, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the one to invest that much into trying to get extra viewers.
1 million per month. You know what I can do with that?
I could start a new life.
Our podcast would be way more fancy. Fucking masseuse, massaging my backs and hands as we just sit
delivering
here.
Food as we sit.
Oh, it's with the food.
Like
here.
We'd have like Jamie on Joe Rogan's show. Like, hey Jamie, can you pull that up? We'd have a Jamie.
We'd have a producer. We'd have an assistant. The producer would have an assistant.
Mm.
A girl can dream. Sad news.
Mm.
Sean Connery has passed away, age 90.
Yeah. I'd say gone too soon, but at 90, it's like you've lived a full life.
Yeah, he's lived a full life.
Yeah, this man has been in tons of films. So I think most people...
He started in the 60s.
Yeah, I mean, for most people, he is still like James Bond, right?
He is the iconic James Bond, and that was 1962.
Yeah.
Dr. No came out, the first James Bond.
So
very boring film.
I don't think the old Bond's old.
The old Bonds are so fucking boring. I watched one a few years ago because my brother-in-law watches all of them every year. He rewatches them and he sits through Dr. No, and I was like, how the fuck do you do that? It's so horrible. These long takes where no one says anything. It's just a guy walking.
Uh-huh.
Anyway,
building a story.
Yes.
So he was James Bond. He won an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor in The Untouchables.
Great film.
He's starred in some awesome action movies like For Red October, The Rock, or as he would call it, The Rock.
The Rock.
Welcome to The Rock.
Welcome to The Rock.
And then also some cool dramatic roles like Finding Forrester.
Finding Forrester, one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
He's an absolute legend. He had some weird views about beating women in the 60s.
Yeah, no, go look up his interview on YouTube. They haven't aged well.
No, they have not aged well at all. But then again, you know, he is human and he just likes to slap a woman sometimes.
Yeah, man.
No, but look, icon, absolute icon of cinema. And he was old for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, remember...
The Untouchables was in the 90s and he looked the same.
He looked exactly the same. White hair, white beard. Nothing about him really changed since like the early 90s.
No.
Unfortunately, his last role, we spoke about it also in one of the top sixes, was in The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Yeah. Iconic film. Iconically
bad.
But you're going to watch it, obviously, as a tribute to Sean Connery. Exactly. It's one of your guilty pleasures.
It's one of my guilty pleasures. So I'll be indulging this weekend in League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. I wish it gone out on a higher note, but
yeah,
alas.
Yeah.
Interestingly, Sean had been living in the Bahamas at the time that he passed away. So he's from Scotland, lived in Spain for large parts of his life, and this was all not to pay taxes in the UK. So he was technically only allowed to go to Scotland for like 90 days at a time.
Stand up guy.
And when he passed away, he was staying in the Bahamas because, again, he's still doing his tax evasion. But so he hadn't really been home for much.
But here, Wesley Snipes gets locked up. Fucking bullshit. Always trying to hold a black man down. Shit. Sean Connery can live in the Bahamas. Wesley Snipes is forced to star in the fucking Expendables.
Yeah, he was forced into that. Yeah, hashtag, but get a better lawyer,
Wesley. He was good in it, though.
He was. Yeah. He made that fall.
He still got it. Wow. He could still play Blade.
He's still coming. He's coming back for... he's in...
Demolition Man 2.
No. No. No, he's in Coming to America. Coming to America. Yeah, he's playing. He's already got a really cool role in there. And he was absolute dynamite in Dolomite.
Yes, he was amazing.
Stole the show.
So that's the thing, man. The right role for Wesley Snipes. Give him a chance, Hollywood. He can come back. He's got to pay them taxes, but he's going to come back.
But also, R.I.P. Sean Connery.
Oh, yes. That's... Oh, my fuck. That's where we started this journey.
It's a magical journey.
R.I.P. Sean Connery. Do you have a favorite film?
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Oh, okay. That's your favorite.
Well... Catherine Zeta-Jones in Entrapment and Sean Connery in Entrapment.
Well, why did you mention Catherine Zeta-Jones first?
It was his film, but she kind of... I hit puberty for those
lasers. The sweet spot, yeah. Especially with the laser, underneath the laser. Yeah.
That one was pretty high on the rewatch list for a while.
Yeah.
But my favorite film of his... Yo, I'm going to go for The Rock, eh?
I was going to say The Rock. He's old as fuck, but he pulled convincing. It off. Yes, so convincing. I mean,
from his escape right until his eventual...
Yes, and he plays this genius smart-ass know-it-all who's just been through the shit.
And somehow keeps Nicolas Cage in his place.
Exactly. He stops him from caging out. Like, just the right amount of cage.
Yeah.
Because you're up against Sean Connery.
Exactly.
Such a good... I was going to say that as
Let's
well.
Let's rewatch that.
Just fucking do it. Ah, welcome to The Rock. Oh, R.I.P. Sean Connery. Show some respect, Jody.
Damn it, why are you laughing? Play the Scottish national anthem or something.
That is my impression of a bagpipe. Anyway, R.I.P. Sean Connery.
Sec, it's time for a review.
10 years ago, I released a movie film which brought great shame to Kazakhstan. But now I was instructed to return to Yankee Land to carry out secret mission.
I go to America!
What do you say? No, it's not me.
People make recognize my face. I would need disguises.
This man is a sex criminal?
No, no sex criminal.
Borat's subsequent movie film, Delivery of Prodigious Bribe to American Regime for Make Benefit Once Glorious Nation of Kazakhstan. I didn't know how long the pause has to be for a double punt, man.
Yeah, well, how long? If you could read it in, really leave it in the comments. How long a pause is a double punt?
This movie is starring Sacha Baron Cohen, Maria Bakalova, who's kind of stealing the show in this one, and then a ton of cameos, which we can't really cover. It's various people. Directed by Jason Wallner, who hasn't done much at all. He's still pretty young, only 40 years old. He's working on some stand-up things and a few other stuff. But interestingly for me, the cinematographer on this film, Luke Gijsbuehler.
Wow.
is German.
So good.
I swear can say German.
Oh, yeah, this is good, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, schnell, wunderbar.
So, Luke Heisbuller also worked with Michael Moore on Fahrenheit 11-9. So, not Fahrenheit 9-11.
Yeah, which is the one he's most famously known
yeah,
for.
Yeah, this was kind of like the sequel to that. So
it's Bush first and...
Yes, and the second one, Fahrenheit 11-9, was actually about the Trump election and presidency in 2016. I think that's really interesting in context with this film. The fact that the cinematographer was involved with the Trump election there and now the Borat film, which is quite politically inclined. So the synopsis for this movie, it stars Sacha Baron Cohen as the fictional Kazakh journalist and television personality Borat Sagdiyev and Maria Bakalova as his daughter Tuta, who is to be offered as a bride to Vice President Mike Pence during the COVID-19 pandemic and the 2020 presidential election. And this is obviously a sequel to 2006's Borat, Cultural Learnings of America for Make Benefit Glorious Nation of Kazakhstan.
Well done, though. You made it through. Super proud of you.
Montes terug.
Initial thoughts, Jody?
Dude, do you remember when we did the trailer and we were both shocked that somehow this movie had been made.
Yes.
Completely under the radar.
Exactly. And it was a little bit of research. It was made in a short space of time.
Very short space of time.
Yeah. He had to do it almost guerrilla style and shoot it in like a few months.
Yeah.
They announced it in September. Amazon announced it. And the movie wasn't finished. So they announced it in September to be released before the election. But the movie was still...
No pressure, guys.
Yeah. The movie was still in post-production. So they worked super hard, but a lot of planning went into it, apparently.
Yeah.
Because of the Trump election, this is actually the reason this movie was made. Sacha Baron Cohen got angry, basically, and decided to make this film just based on the state of the United States at this point in time.
And basically, I think also a microcosm of world politics, which has all become a lot more populist. And, you know, we're not going to go into all the political stuff, but in general, I think the U.S. is kind of like a microcosm of the world.
Yeah, I mean, everybody has some sort of opinion on what's happening there.
Exactly. Do you think this film was as shocking as the original Borat movie came out?
I would say no, but maybe we are just numb to it now. I feel like it didn't hit those notes of like, and then, that was a good gasp.
It was.
It didn't hit those notes anymore because
we are numb.
Fact is in fact stranger than fiction these days.
Exactly.
So for him to present these things and these opinions and you know, show the people that he does in the film, it just didn't hit me the same way. Granted, it's still shocking.
Yeah.
What shocks me more is that people still think this way.
Yes. I think not just that people think this way, but that they allow themselves to be caught thinking this way. There's two
ways that he does it. They get the release signed ahead of time before they film everything. Mm-hmm. And once they film something and people realize, oh, it's going to be, you know, shown to the world, then they pay them some money.
Ka-ching.
Yeah, they pay them money and they keep their back and then they just live with that footage.
Yeah. More money, more problems.
Fucking way, a lot of problems. So we start off where Borat is in Kazakhstan, but in a Kazakhstani prison.
I'm laughing because I'm thinking of that picture. Yeah.
You'll see it. The Kazakhstani scenes were actually filmed in Romania.
Yeah.
Which makes me think Romania is fucking depressing.
Sasha's not very welcome in Kazakhstan pre this movie.
Yeah. So he's in prison and he's serving his sentence. And then he gets a call from the government official and they basically tell him that he has to go back to America.
Because he's in prison because of his exploits in the first film and for like embarrassing the country. Basically. Yep.
So he has to then go on this journey back to the States and, like the title says,
delivery of prodigious bribe to American regime for make benefit once glorious nation of Kazakhstan.
Perfect. Perfectly put. Mm. That's kind of funny because there's a running joke in the film that the title of the film keeps changing every time his plan changes.
Yeah.
But so before he leaves Kazakhstan, he goes to visit his sons. they think he's an asshole. Uh-huh. And then he goes to visit his daughter, which we didn't know he had.
Yeah.
His daughter's in a
shed.
Shed?
Yeah, she's in a shed.
Living
she's
in full.
Shed.
She's basically covered in shit.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, okay, bye. Because Kazakhstan, their relationship with their daughters, they're basically slaves or pets, I would say.
More like a pet.
Yeah, like a pet, like an animal. So daughters are kept in cages. They mustn't make eye contact. they eat scraps and shit like it's hectic.
Yeah.
And then he leaves. He gets his gray suit out and he leaves.
He goes back on his mission.
Yeah.
How crazy is it that we just said all of that and we just spoke about, is this film shocking? And then we're like, no, it's not that shocking.
His daughter's in a cage.
That's how he portrays a father-daughter relationship. It's
oh,
not that
good. So,
we are numb.
Yeah, we are super. The world is fucking numb. So he gets to America and then quickly realizes that people recognize him now. So in order for him to operate, he'll then have to wear disguises.
Yeah. That's a meta bit that was included in the trailer. Where
I think it's perfectly done because that's the only way you could have done
exactly.
it.
Exactly. You embrace the madness.
Yeah, it's kind of genius. So people are like quoting him, chasing him down the street.
and this is all kind of like in the South, in America, and like in a lot of places that are quite conservative.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Which makes it that much crazier that people immediately recognize him and know who he was. All of that, you know.
Yeah, it's interesting to see that. That movie was how long ago?
Jeez, the original one was in 2006.
2006, and it's still, people still recognize him. People still recognize the quotes. They still know Borat Zadiev.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So that's basically the story. But I feel like this movie is slightly different because there's heart behind it.
That's exactly the thing that's different for me as well. There's this through line where it feels a lot more emotive than the first one.
Yeah.
It feels a lot more... It's a lot warmer almost than the first one.
Warmer.
The even though this is shot very documentary style or mockumentary style, and I think this is where the cinematographer comes in because Michael Moore's films are shot in a similar way with voiceovers and whatnot.
Yeah.
It feels more like a movie this time, and also you feel more warmth that you don't generally get in documentaries.
Yeah. So there is a plot running through it. Mm. There's a story that is being told.
Mm.
He incorporates the interview footage and the candid documentary style footage, but there's a story that runs through, and the story is between him and his daughter and how their relationship builds as they journey through the America.
And Maria Bakalova, she's from Bulgaria as well, and she really, for me, is like the... She totally, like...
She's just as brave as him, man. She's just as brave as him.
She's insanely brave. And I would say almost more so because of the inherent dangers that women have still now in society when they put themselves in similar positions to what men do.
She's
and,
so
and she
good.
Just goes at it and throws herself into every situation. Like, she literally just commits to everything.
Yeah.
Goes at it... Full hammer and tongs throughout.
The amount of trust that the two of them must have had in order to get... I mean, I don't even know what the casting process for this was.
Yeah, I also have no idea, but...
But they nailed it.
Yeah.
She is so good.
She's amazing. She was. She really steals the show for me in this
she
one.
Does, but I think that's fine. And I think it's fine with him.
Mm, totally.
Because it makes the movie better.
Exactly. Let's maybe dive into like a bit more spoilery territory now.
Okay. My favorite moment from the film is the baby and the cupcake thing. So, Borat and his daughter... They want to buy a cake for Mike Pence.
Mm-hmm.
And they go to a cake shop and, you know, they order the cake and whatever, but the daughter is begging for a cupcake. So
well, she's probably never eaten one.
She's never eaten because according to the manual, she's not allowed to do it. So there's a manual on how to raise your daughter.
These layers.
Yeah. Kazakhstani manual. And this manual basically shows you how to treat them like a pet.
Mm-hmm.
She's not allowed to have sugar or cupcakes or anything that could bring her some sort of joy. So she begs him for a cupcake. And because he's starting to warm up to her, he decides, okay, he's going to give her a cupcake, but no one can see because it goes against the manual.
Mm-hmm.
So he ends up feeding her this cupcake, this blue cupcake with a plastic baby on top. He ends up feeding it to her in this back alley.
Mm-hmm.
And she gets so excited that she actually swallows the plastic baby.
Mm-hmm.
He says... We have to get the doctor
to get the baby out
to
of
get
him.
The baby out. Cut to a women's center, which I assume is in like buttfuck America.
Yes,
I say buttfuck, but they hate anal sex.
Yeah, it's right. It's close to the prostate. This one.
it's It's like the fucking sticks, the middle America, most conservative part, I assume, because that's the only place that would have this type of women's center there.
Yeah.
So they go to the women's center and they're talking to this man who is apparently a doctor.
I have a baby inside me and I want to take it out of me.
Right.
She wants it out now, please.
Right.
Can you take it out?
No, we cannot. That's not what we do here.
And why not?
What you say, take it out.
Yes.
You end that life. That life will die.
Right. It's already dead. It's not living.
No, it is living. Right now, it has
life this big.
It has a heartbeat right now.
I don't think so.
It is a living, breathing life that God has created.
I don't think he's breathing.
We can show you that it's breathing.
It hurt my stomach.
And
it will hurt my asshole.
If it come out, yes, because the arm like this, it can tear it.
Right.
I feel bad because I was the one who put the baby in her.
You don't need to feel bad.
I was just trying to give my daughter pleasure, and next thing I know, there is a baby inside her.
You keep calling her your daughter.
Yes.
Okay. Is he your father?
Yes.
This is your daughter?
Yes.
Okay.
I wanted to give my daughter a treat.
I understand. I don't need to hear I don't need to hear any more of that. I understand.
She just had
that.
But look at that face.
I understand.
How could I not give it to her? Would you have not given it to her?
I understand. Listen, that is not important right now. We're at this moment. It really doesn't matter how we got to this moment.
When he treated me, he said this will be our little secret.
Yes, this is why I do it here behind the dumpster, so no one can see. Now that you know that I am her father, can we take it out now, please?
God is the one who creates life, and God doesn't make accidents.
Ridiculous, in my opinion.
Totally ridiculous. And I think what I love about those types of scenes is that, for the most part, it doesn't feel like anything is shot out of sequence. No. They actually are just setting it up and they run with it. And they are actually giving us unfiltered content. I'll actually switch now to a scene I didn't particularly like. And it's one of the more famous ones from the film. Because I think it's the one that got all the hype just before the movie was released. And that's the one involving Rudy Giuliani. Everyone must have gotten some type of coverage on this by this point in time. And essentially what happens is that Rudy is being interviewed by Tuta, who we are led to believe is 15 in the movie. She's played by a 24-year-old woman. But she then becomes a journalist herself for like these very conservative far-right conspiracy websites. And in the interview, he's like really just way off the charts, like dude, he's hitting on this girl, he's flirting, he's really getting comfortable. And then it switches to the bedroom scene where Rudy is like sitting on the bed asking her for
air quotes, tucking in his pants,
tucking in
his shirt.
Now one of the reasons I don't like it, because I think that this is one of the scenes where they actually have gotten a bit edity, where they made things perhaps a bit more dramatic than what it was. For one, I think that if Rudy was doing something super, super dodgy, they would have most likely actually kept it in as is. But even though his hand's in his pants, I don't think it was actually as bad as what the scene makes it look like necessarily, with the big climax. And then Borat comes in and almost like, oh, she's not journalist, blah, blah, blah.
So, he actually says, she's 15, she's too old for you.
Yeah. So I almost feel like this is a scene where they've gone against, and this is just my feeling, I'm not saying
I get it.
They've gone against the ethos of actually leaving in that, you know, the content unfolds.
Showing it as it is.
I feel like it was more curated in this one.
Yeah, for sure. I get that sense as well, just because of the edit, the cuts and sort of how things play out. I get that. But also, Rudy Giuliani's a fucking asshole.
But you asked for a number and address.
Yeah, he did.
Can't deny that.
I wouldn't put it past him just because of who he is as a person, or what I believe who he is as a person. But it could also be to the point that there's a safety issue. If he did have to take it further, he would have to interrupt it. So I think that according to him, He was hiding in a cupboard. So they had checked everything. They had set out the scene. He was hiding in a cupboard. And then they, Rudy Giuliani and this girl walked in. Yeah. And that started to happen.
Yeah.
They were supposed to notify him with his cell phone. Once he got locked in the cupboard, he realized he had 3%.
Oh, shit.
So they had checked everything except the phone battery.
The power of this phone.
So he kind of had to play it by ear and then eventually jump out.
Yeah.
When speaking to her, she said that she fully trusted him.
Yeah.
That he was going to stop her.
Yeah.
So
and she's committed. Right? Like, yeah, she would have gone as long as...
Well, I don't think she would have like sucked his dick or something. For the art.
Dude, if she's as dedicated as Sasha is, he does some weird shit.
Yeah, but Rudy Giuliani's dick, though.
I know.
Imagine what that looks like.
I don't.
Like his bottom row of teeth.
Oh,
Google that. the stark difference between his bottom and top rows of teeth. Anyway.
Bringing you the vital content. At some point in the film, Tuto has to be taken to a... What is it? It's like a babysitter, like a halfway house type
thing. I actually wasn't sure what that was, but it was very sweet.
Yeah, and this woman, she wasn't in on this at all.
No.
She ends up giving Borat a lot of advice about how to treat women. She ends up giving Tuto a lot of advice about like how she should see herself, the type of things that she's entitled to as a person.
Yeah.
This woman was just like an absolute angel.
She was.
You know, in the midst of everything going on around her.
100%.
And they've ended up like sponsoring quite a lot of money towards whichever cause this woman is involved
in. I'm glad. Like, she was an angel. Oh my word. Not only does she help Tuta in the movie, but she helps Borat as well.
Significantly.
Yeah. So that's a very sweet moment. Yeah. It's her speaking to her basically that women have rights.
Yeah. Just telling her the absolute basics.
Yeah, just the basics. Not even going into like... pay equality or anything like that. Just like, hey, you don't have to live in a cage.
And I think that for me is kind of sums up what makes this movie. I think this movie is better than the original.
I also think so. As a film, definitely.
The first one was funny. They focused on lots of bits and there was lots of laugh out loud moments, but it was crude.
Mm.
This was a much better film. They actually had, like we said earlier, so much heart. A lot more warmth, but they found all these nuggets of like good in between all the shit as well.
Yeah.
And they use that to elevate. It's like the contrast between the good and the bad.
Yeah.
It highlights the bad a lot more, but at the same time shows us there is still some good out there as well.
Yeah. It's the love between father and daughter.
The love between father and daughter, the amazing kindness that strangers can have in small ways and in big ways. So for me, I really...
Especially in these uncertain times, it's nice to see something like that. And you wouldn't... That took me by surprise because you wouldn't expect it from a Borat movie based on the first one.
Definitely.
And also, but the first one could shock us a bit more.
Yeah.
In this climate, though, like, do you think he changed anybody's mind with this?
I don't think so. I think that... And that's why I thought it was silly of him to try and push. I understand the hype with the elections and maybe trying to link it with that. But much like Michael Moore's done all of his documentaries just before election times, and he tried to not get George Bush re-elected with Fahrenheit 9/11.
Yeah.
He tried to like probably not get Trump elected with Fahrenheit 11/9. It doesn't impact on people's actual viewpoints.
No.
People are still going to think the way that they think. I, however, choose to kind of embrace the positivity of his message in that, you know, there is still good out there, even, like we say, with all the shit.
Yeah.
But I don't think we're changing anyone's mind.
No, I mean, I think social media does a huge disservice to, like, the truth.
Yeah.
And I feel like people see what they want to see. So they're finding their communities, they're finding their groups, and they are just, hate's being spread, and there's nothing you can do about it. Mm-hmm. No, Borat... It's going to change it. No. Even though he gave it a good old try.
He gave it the old college try.
But I think, look, at the time of recording this, the election result, what did they say, 2 more days?
Yeah, we're 2 days away from the election.
People are already preparing their storefronts and their hotels for like civil unrest.
Yeah. Yeah, this is, it's like Y2K or like SA94.
Shit's getting real.
People are scared.
So who's to say? This will only come out in the future. So... I hope Trump doesn't win, and if he doesn't, I hope no one gets hurt.
Yeah.
But as we saw in Borat, there are good people in the world.
There are still good people, and we hope that that is what prevails in the end.
Wow.
Look at us.
Hey? Look at profound. Us.
Profound. We haven't even rated the bloody movie.
Oh, my God. I'm in charge of the rating system.
You are.
So our rating system this week is Borat catchphrases.
Ooh.
Okay. So the worst being Yashimash. Okay. The next one is just a little bit better than terrible is My Wife.
Why is My Wife just a bit better than terrible?
Oh my God.
Oh.
That was an accident. Abigail, I love you.
I had nothing to do with it.
Okay. The one that's just a bit better, which is sort of midway, is High Five.
High Five.
Then we go into a better than average. Very nice.
You're committed to that.
I'm in it now, bro. I'm in it. I've been practicing all day. And then the best possible rating you can give it is Wow Wow Wee Wow.
I'm going to give this one a wow, wow, wee, wow.
Nice.
I loved this movie. I really thought that the fact that I was so surprised that it was made, I didn't know about it coming out, the amount of warmth and still passion that Sacha Baron Cohen puts into these projects.
Yeah.
And we've also got, I think, a new comedic star in Maria Bakalova.
So I hope she gets more work, eh?
Definitely.
She's so good. In the interviews that I saw, she did struggle a bit with English, so she might have learned her lines a lot of them phonetically.
Probably.
Just like Antonio Banderas in Mambo Kings.
Yes.
Couldn't speak a fucking word of English.
And in Philadelphia.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
He couldn't speak English when he fell over.
Hard work pays off.
Mm-hmm.
You can do it. Dream big.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need English, apparently.
No English.
You just need a keen ear.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to also give it a wow, wow, wow.
Yeah,
because
nice.
It surprised me, but in a way that I didn't expect.
Mm.
And it showed me that Sacha Baron Cohen still has things to talk about. He still has, art to share with us. And he's a genius, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, bringing back this character now,
yeah.
No one expected
it. No one expected it.
So, shout out this week goes
no,
out.
No, it's
to,
shout out.
Shout out this week goes out to Mr. Morgan Morris, aka TaylorMade Revolutions on Instagram. Thank you for all the content that you're contributing at the moment, sir. We will be running with some of your ideas on future episodes.
I'd like to send a shout out to. Brendan Costell, it takes you back, man. I'd like to send a shout out to Brendan Costell, also tintin.cbt on Instagram. Also, hitting up the comments, good supporter for the show. Love your energy, and
keep them coming, guys.
Keep them coming, keep engaged. You might get a shout out
You will get a shout out if you contribute something.
Yeah, but you must contribute. You can't just... Also, don't comment and just ask for a shout-out.
Mm.
No one likes that person.
Also, no shout-outs to your mommy and your daddy and your auntie who's listening right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, those are dedications.
Yeah.
So if you... dedication and a shout-out is two different things.
So...
how can they get a shout-out from us, Joni?
Follow us on Instagram, Bioscope Russell Podcast. On Instagram, please go and comment on the content. We need ideas for things. We are running out of ideas because we are but normal men.
Don't
Ross,
tell them that.
We are but normal men. My mind is ravaged.
They don't need to know that. They don't need to know. No, we are gods among men.
On the real though, we would love to get your ideas for top sixes as well as movies to review. Keep the comments coming. We love all the engagement. You can also email us at bioscopebrasser@gmail.com.
Nice. So, as usual, stay safe, everyone. Safe, Jody.
Safe, yeah.